Help us, O God, to be masters of ourselves, that we may become servants of others. Take our lips and speak through them, our minds and think through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire for Christ's sake. Amen. This morning, I want for us to take a moment and consider these two questions. When was the last time you experienced heartbreak? And what breaks your heart? I hope you weren't thinking the Lakers or my life as a Chicago Cubs fan. But really, what breaks your heart? What have you heard on the news recently or experienced in your life that has broken your heart? What made you lament? In today's gospel reading, Jesus was warned to leave Jerusalem because the city had rejected him. Not only did Herod want to kill him because of the danger Jesus had posed, but the people of Jerusalem had also rejected him. This was a city that initially had welcomed Jesus, but eventually found him taking things too far, when what they most wanted was liberation from the Romans. They cannot fully accept embracing the foreigner, advocating for the needy, and loving their enemies. This Jesus, Jerusalem rejected. So we find Jesus lamenting over Jerusalem, but symbolically also crying over the people of Israel. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. And you were not willing. To them, Jesus simply took things too far and in a different direction. All Jesus wanted to do was to gather up the people of Israel in a way a hen would gather up her brood away from danger. Imagine a hen shooing her chicks away from the storm or from the predatory fox. The mother wants her chicks to be safe, not just for safety's sake and to live another day, but that one day would lead to another day so that they would have every opportunity to grow into full maturity. Jesus wanted what's best for them, abundant life for them and for their neighbors. Isn't that what every parent wants? The moments of feeling very guarded and protective, the instincts to gather, are not just about the safety of that moment, but about making sure that your children can become all that they were meant to be, for them and for the people around them. All our expressions of worries for our children or for people that we take care of, there are many. Look before you cross the street. Bring your jacket. It's cold out there. Make sure you wear your seatbelts. And eat your vegetables. On their own, these expressions don't mean a whole lot. But in the big picture, they do. I think about my own parents and how they have poured their lives into mine, how they've made many sacrifices along the way, and in their way, well, they were very protective of me. Not just for me to live another day, but also for me to become what I was meant to be. Two conversations remind me of this. First, when my parents attended my graduation from my master's in marriage and family therapy, my dad told me that he was so glad and satisfied that I was a therapist because it brought out so much more of who I am. The second conversation took place just over a month ago, a few days before my ordination to the priesthood. I was talking with my mom, and she was in tears. She had tears of regret because they live in Taiwan and were not able to attend because at their age, they just don't travel very well. But her tears were also of gladness. She said to me, "This was what you were meant to do. From very early on, God always was drawing you into ministry, and this was what you've been preparing for." I was very moved by my dad's words 12 years ago and my mom's words last month. And for my parents, there was this deep satisfaction that all they had done had led to a fuller expression of how I was created to be. Just like a hen gathering her brood, protecting them from safety so that they can mature and grow. So the hope of parents, of mentors, of teachers, the hope of the mother hen, the hope for Jesus is for the lives of the young to become fully realized. Jesus wanted so much for Israel to become all that they can be, that being citizens of heaven, being daughters and sons of God, meant living a life that seeks after the lost and lonely. It meant extending the good news to the stranger in their midst and seeking justice for those without voice or power. So imagine Jesus' disappointment and broken heart that when his own people rejected him, they rejected also his mission and his desire for them. They were not willing to be gathered to become all that they were created to be. But the good news is that despite his heart being broken, Jesus committed to returning. He would return to the place of rejection. As we read in this, at the end of this passage, he alluded to his return on Palm Sunday. And he did so because he loved deeply. So what breaks our hearts today? We watch the news, we look around, and perhaps we feel sadness. We feel anger at injustice. Here at St. Francis, some of you are committed to caring for the homeless so that they can rediscover a path to fullness. Others of you mentor or support at-risk youth so that they can be fully empowered adults. And many of you are passionate about nurturing healthy families and relationships or protecting the environment. For me, my recent heartbreak was on Ash Wednesday, when Paula and I provided ashes to go at Malaga Cove. It was a very profound experience for me. Many of you, there were people from St. Francis and churches nearby that immediately knew what we were doing and gladly came up to receive ashes. They were grateful that we brought church to them. There was even a group of five women who were taking a break from work. And they told us that they were attending different Catholic churches. And with tears in their eyes, they received ashes together. It was an occasion for friends and co-workers to share in a holy moment. But there were also many who quickly walked on and walked by, averting eye contact. Now, my heartbreak wasn't so much of their lack of response. It was that for many of them, they didn't know that we as a church existed. And that we are here to serve them, not just on Ash Wednesday, but every day of the week. Many probably didn't know what the ashes were about and felt too awkward to find out. I wanted so much to say to them, "Wait, let me explain. Don't walk away. This isn't as weird as it looks." Me smearing black stuff on people's foreheads. There's so much more. Many probably walked on because they might have been hurt by the church in the past and still hear condemning voices from Christians. I wanted so much to say, God loves you and the Episcopal Church welcomes you. And we are very sorry for your pain and your hurt, and we want to be part of the healing. Others perhaps walked on because they were just too busy and didn't want to be bothered. And I just wanted to say to them, please slow down to experience some sacred moments with us. And that we are in tears because we are reminded that we are mortal. We are dust. But God created us, and like a mother hen, loves us and watches over us and wants us to live fully abundant lives. So there I was, lamenting that we are the best kept secret around. We as St. Francis and the Episcopal Church, we can be agents of healing. We are the loving and embracing voice of Jesus Christ in a society full of condemning and hateful voices. We seek the holy and the sacred in our liturgy and our lives together. We seek to mend and restore, and we want to serve you. My lament that day was that Ashes to Go was just one opportunity to bring Jesus to one place on one afternoon in our community. So on that day, I found myself committing more deeply to bringing the hopeful message of God to where people are at, and not just waiting for people to come to us. So will you join me? Join me in figuring this out, and how for us to bring the message of God to the people in our lives. And here's the challenge for you and me. Sometimes our heartbreaks only leads us to sentiment. We'll feel sad, and then the sentiment wears off, and then we return to the busyness and the familiarity of our lives. But sometimes our heartbreak moves us, and it leads us back to commit to return, just as Jesus committed to return to Jerusalem. Our heartbreaks lead us to commitment to action, to do something, to serve, to respond. Our heartbreaks also lead us to commit to solidarity, to be with, to spend time with, to befriend, and to get to know. Lent is a season for us to simplify our lives so that we can create more room for God to work in us and through us. Lent is not just about fasting and abstaining. It is about committing to acts of mercy and generosity, to be with those who are in need, and to help each other live out the mission of Jesus. May this Lent create room for God to work in and through us, through our heartbreaks, so that in the words of the prophet Micah, we might commit to acting justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly with our God. Amen.